The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
Right, let's talk about an incredible website that gives you the inside view on refereeing. YouAreTheRef.com. It's grown from strength to strength. It's got some incredible contributors, including not just refs, but obviously refs as well. The likes of Mark Holsey's involved in it, Mark Clattenburg. I've seen Loro on there, Carlton Palmer, Ian Dowie. The list goes on and on. And the man behind it, the MD, is Jock Waugh. Morning to you, Jock.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Great, thank you. Just give us an idea about the conception of YouAreTheRef.com.
So basically, we see federations in the US or the FA in England as the NHS of refereeing. We wanted to set up the Bupa version of that. So we want to provide people the best quality consultants in terms of refereeing, and people are entitled to pay for that education if that's what they want to do.
The spotlight has never been greater on referees, has it?
No. I think, certainly the trend over the past 10 years that I've seen, the growth of the game, the value of it, the money involved, the referees at the centre of every discussion and every pub conversation that I can listen to anyway after games.
Has the pressures intensified on them? I mean, obviously, you're working alongside your Mark Clattenbergs and your Mark Holseys. Do they feel it's changed for them as a job?
I think so, yeah. And I think, over the next weeks, you'll hear from Mark Clattenburg more, who's leading our academy. He'll talk about the pressure, the intensity of doing two European finals in 1 year, the Champions League and then the Euro Championships final. Plus his Premier League commitments, it's a lot of pressure because you're managing that whole event. That's a world stage event for one person, one referee to carry off.
I think you have to be a certain sort of personality, don't you? They rarely get good feedback. So it's a certain type of person that can go into that job and thrive off it.
Hey, I tell you what, I wasn't at the level of those guys. I started the company, but, I used to love going to Prenton Park. In that, you can get as much pressure at Prenton Park with some of the comments off the Scousers. and Les Parry, don't forget Les Parry could come out with one or two as well, as you could anywhere else,
We were having a giggle before because Mike Dean refereed Tranmere against Liverpool last night. Massive Tranmere fan, of course, and still gave Liverpool two penalties.
And that says everything about referees, certainly in this country. They're totally objective.
Still sticking by his guns. Let's just talk about refereeing in general at the moment. So video refereeing has come massively under the spotlight, not least in the Confederations Cup or over the summer in the Euro under-21s. Let's start with the Confederations Cup because there was a host of high-profile errors within it. There was one where, in the game between Germany and Cameroon, the wrong player, Siani, was booked for a case of mistaken identity. The ref, who was Mr. Roldan, used the VAR. He upgraded the yellow to a red. But then when he watched the video a second time, he saw he'd actually given it to the wrong person.
Yeah. In the end, he got the decision right. Now, Wilmar I know very well. Wilmar is... We've just done a training camp for Wilmar in Colombia. Mark Halsey and the guys have just been over there delivering to 200 referees in Medellin. Now, I think what that highlighted in Wilmar's situation is that, we've always advocated video technology and technology as a whole can enhance the decision-making of referees. Keith Hackett, my co-director, the guy I started the company with, brought in goal-line technology into the Premier League. So we're big advocates. However, what you've got to do is you've got to bring it in the right way. And I think we've got to learn from the likes of rugby where you don't want the referee running over to the screen. That's not going to help him. That puts him under even more pressure. You can have a good quality colleague sat in the stand who can take that heat out of the situation for you so you can draw the box in the air. Everybody knows what's happening. Then it goes to the guy in the stand and it can get communicated over the earpiece. And then everybody gets it. It's done, dusted, without all this, let's run over to the screen, because that running over to the screen in front of 60, 80,000 and the TV audience, that just adds more pressure to the referee.
So the defence for Wilmar in this situation is that it should have been communicated better to him.
Yes, somebody quite easily can sit in the stand with the video editor from the TV company. They can calmly and collectively come to the conclusion, communicate that to the referee on the pitch. Everybody understands what's happened. It's the relationship between him and the guy in the stand. And then everybody gets on with the game. But this, all the players surrounding the referee having to run over and make an instant decision on the screen that decided that's the wrong way to do it, in my opinion.
So they'll change that situation, will they, Jock? Is that just an obvious one?
I think they're going to learn from this. And, you know, everybody's desperate for it to come in because it can improve a lot of decisions, you know, and it can add to the value of the game so that we get the right outcomes. But we don't want to bring this in as a knee-jerk, kind of quick, let's just get it in type situation. It's just got to be, the training's got to be right. The methodology's got to be right. And I think Confederations Cup, it's not stand or fall, was it right or was it wrong? It's, we can do this better.
Right, so perhaps at a different end of the scale, more controversy in Chelsea, in Chile's semi-final win, because Jose Font appeared to foul Silva in the box, but the ref didn't award a penalty or ask to see the incident again.
Yeah, and that, again, it highlights how the thing is introduced and, more importantly, the training of the match officials. You know, there's a lot of people in we did a thing last week with Chris Waddle and Dave Bassett, and Dave's like, well, you know, the referee should just get it right. And in a lot of cases, you know what? The referee on the pitch could make the right decision. And the last thing we want is for video referee to be a scapegoat for the referee to abdicate responsibility for making decisions on the pitch.
So the FIFA president, Gianni Infantino, said the system had been a great success. Do you see it that way as a trial run?
I think it's work in progress. That's my view on it, Steve. I don't think we can go about bandying terms like that around just yet. I think, in principle, it's a terrific addition to the game, but I don't think we can hail it as a success just yet.
How much behind the scenes is being done to, you know, gradually get to the point where it's fully implemented within our game here in England?
I think there's already been a lot of work done. I think, unbeknownst to a lot of people, there were some games done, under the radar last year using this system. So training was already underway at Premier League level where people were using the system, trying to work through the principles of it, but without being public about it.
It'd be fascinating come the time when it does get fully introduced. Just on the standard of refereeing as a total, in the Premier League, and again, going back to what I was saying before, referees tend to get it pretty harsh, don't they? And all I ever hear is they're not good enough, you know. But the work that goes into to making Premier League referees, you know, putting them out there at the highest end of the game, there's an awful lot, isn't there? But what's your view on how good the standard currently is in the Premier League individually?
I think for anybody to get to elite level of sport, you have to be a top performer, and you have to respect the fact that people have achieved at that level. What concerns me is that we've had two of the finest referees the world's ever seen in recent years, in Howard Webb and Mark Clattenburg, but they've both chosen to walk away from the league that they've aspired to all their careers. At very young ages. Now, for me, that asks some questions about how they've been managed, about how we respect our elite match officials, because we do need them to run the game. You know, the Premier League's the most exciting league in the world, and we need guys like Howard and Klatz refereeing those football matches. But if they've got other life choices that they can make to support their families and you know, improve their situations, then you have to respect that. And what it leaves us with is a question mark over succession planning. Have we got the next Clattenburg? Have we got the next Howard Webb? And that's really where, you know, where we're coming from at the You Are The Ref Academy, is we want to help people aspire to that level if that's what they want to do. But equally, we want young referees across the world. If they want to just referee it the best that they can be on a Sunday morning, then we want to help them do that as well, which is what we were doing in Colombia, what we'll be doing in New York next month, you know, why I'm in Times Square on Saturday, launching a partnership with Street Soccer USA, where we're running referee programs to help disadvantaged kids in the US But using refereeing as a social change vehicle. So we get them refereeing football matches for dollars, which helps get them into a better place in their lives. And some of them could reach the level of Mark Geiger in the US or Clattenburg in the UK. So it's succession planning. It's have we got the right crop of people to carry us through the next 5 years and produce the next Howard Webb? I've got some serious doubts about England's ability to do that. But there's certainly a lot of talent out there in other countries across Europe and the rest of the world.
So are there enough new refs coming through? You put a question mark against that.
I think there's a lot of them. There's a lot of talent out there. But do we have the systems in place to spot that and nurture it and coach it in the right way to bring it up to the elite level? I think the indications are that certainly in this country, and don't get me wrong, our focus is not purely on England. The overseas markets are very, very important to us. Mm. The emerging markets in China, you know, we go to China, they tell us they've got 5,000 referees, but they want to grow 50 million soccer players. Well, hang on a minute. You know, the US has got 145,000 referees. China needs about 300,000-400,000 referees if it's going to grow the game in a sustainable way. But, you know, in England, I think the system is too long from bottom to top. You know, there's too many breaks in the process on the way through. And there's not enough coaches. There's loads of guys around with experience and that can add back to the game. And unfortunately, too many of them are overlooked and cast aside. And they could offer some real insight into young referees.
And John, you spoke about Mark Clattenburg leaving to go and be the head of refereeing for the Saudi Arabian Football Federation. Was that him sort of questioning the faith of the game here? Or is that a financial decision? Or is there a bit of both going on?
I think Mark will tell his own story over the weeks to come. But, you know, at a very simple level, he was given a fantastic opportunity to go and develop refereeing in that particular country. And you know, everybody has to put bread on the table for the families, and Mark was given a wonderful opportunity to go and do that. So, yeah, I can totally respect his decision to, you know, he's had a fantastic career. He wasn't voted the world's number one referee by FIFA by accident. And, you know, I'm delighted he's come on board to lead our academy. So, I'm sure he'll count for his own exit as he did in his interviews, but people have to move on, you know, and like you say, we started the conversation about the pressure that people face refereeing football matches on the Premier League, and that's where Mark's found himself.
Just a final one, because time's catching up with us. What's your thoughts on referees being interviewed after the game? Because I think this is something a lot of fans would like to see, a little bit more accountability, whether it works or whether it's right. I presume there's a different point of view from the referee themselves. Do you feel that a referee should be at least held accountable for a couple of questions after every Premier League game, or indeed every league game?
Yeah, well, I certainly advocate greater openness between referees and players, coaches and stakeholders in the game. I think that can only enhance everybody's education. And do you know what, Steve? That was one of the drivers for me starting the YouAreTheRef.com platform, because we go out, you know, we go out with Keith, Mark Halsey, all the rest of the guys that we've got, and we do fans forums, and we just get involved in conversations about what happened in that game, and it's just stories, and it actually builds a lot of bridges between match officials and fans. Mm. And creates more insight, you know, because, you know, for people to get to understand why Mark Halsey refereed a game in the style that he did, or what, you know, it's fantastic insight for them. And that's a lot more of the journey that we want to explore over the coming months, is the fans' understanding of referees, because, you know, everybody hates us. but they're also fascinated by what makes us tick. Like you say, you have to be a certain animal to referee football matches. 100% you do. And it's great to be able to sit down with fans in a room and just talk football.
Radio City Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.